What's up, Water Break fans? In today's episode, we're breaking down all the exciting moments from the NBA's return to play in Orlando. From game winners to disappointing players to the crazy play-in game, this episode has it all. Plus, later in the show, we talk about some of the worst sports injuries we've seen. Stay tuned. We're coming at you with another good one.
Hey everyone, my name is Ryan Cavan, and I'm here with my co-host, Terrell Thorogood.
What's up, everybody?
We want to welcome you to Water Break. Here on our show, we are going to have conversations with each other, as well as with a variety of other guests who are just as involved and as passionate about sports as we are.
From professional athletes, to coaches, to college players trying to make it big, to the high school athlete trying to earn that scholarship, and everyone in between.
Whether you're a coach, player, or just a fan, we are here to have unique dialogue and perspectives on topics we have thought about, talked about, and are now excited to bring to you.
So be sure to stick around, hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you're using right now, and get ready to relax and take a water break.
Welcome back to another episode of Water Break. T, we're a few months into the podcast, and I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, I'm starting to get a rhythm. It's getting a little bit, like, every episode is just fun. Like
it is.
Every time you do it, it's just a fun time.
Yeah. That's just the main reason for doing it. I mean, we obviously want to, you know, hopefully give other people a voice too on the podcast and having some guests in, and we're excited about some of the guests we got coming up in the next few weeks here. Got some, hopefully some big names coming at you. But more importantly than that, just the opportunity to talk about something that we love. Sports.
Sports. Yeah.
It's that simple.
So we want to jump into it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. We're talking NBA basketball.
Here we go. The bubble. We're talking today the bubble recap.
The bubble. Was it intentionally called the bubble, or did the media turn it into that?
Everybody kind of called it the bubble, yeah. Because the NBA calls it the campus. Like, they refer to it as the campus. But I think that's what Adam Silver referred to it as. He tries to call it a campus, get everyone to call it a campus, but they just call it a bubble because that's pretty much what it is. Like, you're secluded from all your friends and family. You're trying to keep this virus out of, you know, away from everyone so they can keep playing basketball.
And it's crazy how many tests they've done and they've never had a positive test.
Not one.
Like, that's respect to Adam Silver and the NBA, the Players Association, all of this, for coming together and putting together such an amazing product. Obviously, without fans, it's not going to be the same. But to put the product, which we love, which is NBA basketball, giving that to us, but also while keeping the players safe. And it's been fantastic. It's going to be interesting to see as playoffs come. I think it's the second round. They're allowed to bring guests with them, up to four guests.
They're talking about it.
So that'll be interesting to see how that kind of happens.
I'm really surprised. Like, I didn't think it was going to work. I thought, probably 2 or 3 weeks in, it's going to.
Well, they're going to have, like, to quarantine too. They're going to have to go through the same thing. Go through the same test. They're not allowed to leave. If they leave and they want to come back, they're going to have to go through the same things as far as quarantining and stuff. So,
but I mean, like, it's like before the guests showed up.
Like, you were talking about in general.
It wasn't going to work. I thought it was going to, like, someone was going to get it. It was going to get shut down. Like, it's not going to finish. Like, but props to everyone. Like, it's no positive tests and everything looks good. And then, like, we heard all the talks, like, oh, they're going to filter in, you know, fan, you know, like that 2K background noise and the fan. Like, I mean, for what they're dealing with, it still sounds like an NBA game is being played.
The virtual fans is a little funny to me.
It's a little corny.
It's a little goofy. Just because the quality of the cameras and all of that. People, it's kind of funny, you know, everyone was bringing their pets in and stuff like that. Like, that was so random. Yeah, like the guy with the iguana. Did you see the guy just like holding his iguana? Like, what is happening right now? But it's been a little corny, but of course, I mean, you have to put yourself in those shoes.
Yeah, like what are you going to, like,
did you see what the Suns did, that the intro?
Yeah, with all their families. That was really cool.
That was so cool. Like, I thought that was really cool. Special. It wasn't really that big of a deal because the next week the Suns got to see their family. Wow. Poor Phoenix, man. I feel so bad for Phoenix. They had such a good run. Like, oh my God. Like, Devin Booker, everyone, he turned into a star. Like, personally, I thought Devin Booker was a star before. I mean,
he's an all-star this year.
You score 70 points in a game, you're a star. Like, but I do think he He proved something. I don't think they would have done anything. They would have really made, I don't think they would have made really any noise in the playoffs if they would have made it. Because I don't see a way them getting past the Lakers. If they would have gotten the eight seed, I obviously, you know, I'm a Laker fan. I definitely think, you know, we're playing Portland now. I would have rather had Memphis or Phoenix. Portland's dangerous, yeah. Dude. If Dame gets hot, it's nearly impossible to stop him.
I think that matchup, and we'll get to playoff matchups in a second.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm jumping ahead.
But I mean, to piggyback off that matchup, I think that's going to be a very even matchup. I still have the Lakers in that matchup. It's much harder for me to root for the Lakers. I still pick the Lakers in that matchup, yeah. Only because the Blazers have really no perimeter defense.
Yeah.
Like, their perimeter defense is terrible.
Yeah.
Both teams, neither team does, but I think overall, like...
Well, both teams are really weak at what the other team is great at, right? Yeah. So the Lakers have not very good perimeter defense. You know, we would have been a lot better, in better shape with Avery Bradley. But we don't have perimeter defense. But then they don't really have anyone that's going to guard LeBron. Or really AD. I mean, Hassan Whiteside, or Nurkic, but he'll pull them out to the outside, you know, so they can guard him down low. So they play to each other's, you know, it's they're weak where one is strong and one's strong where one is weak. So it's definitely going to be a great series, but
yeah. We'll get to playoffs.
We're going to get there in a minute, but just talking about the bubble overall.
Yeah. I think in and of itself as a product has been good.
Yeah. I think so too. What was your biggest surprise of the bubble? Like what was something that you just say, I did not see that coming?
Like player or just the moment or just something like in general?
Whatever. Just in general. What do you think?
I mean, you mentioned it before. You mentioned Phoenix. That to me, that was the biggest surprise because I know I'm a Spurs fan. And for me too, San Antonio was a big surprise. I rooted for them. You know, every game I watched, every game that they played in.
Mm-hmm.
The Phoenix and San Antonio were two big surprises for me because San Antonio obviously not having LaMarcus Aldridge in the bubble and bringing up, you know, like Keldon Johnson, you know, some of these G League players, you know, who are, you know, come in and now are, you know, yeah. putting up numbers for the team. DeJounte Murray, who was not great at the beginning of the season.
He's kind of quiet.
You know, he came back and, you know, made this little resurgence. DeMar DeRozan, fantastic performance during the bubble.
Is he a free agent this year?
I believe he's going into free agency because he had 2 years.
You think he'll stay?
I thought about the other day. He's 50-50, and I don't mind either way. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if he stayed. I wouldn't be surprised if he left.
Yeah.
I mean, he's – because I know there's, like, the talks of the Nets going after Greg Popovich. And have you heard about those talks?
I haven't.
All? Yeah, there's talks of the Nets actually trying to make a move for Greg Popovich.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. They talked about it at the beginning, like, in the middle of the season. And then they've talked about it, you know, once the Spurs obviously were eliminated from the playoffs, they were talking about the Nets trying to pull Greg Popovich away, trying to figure out a way to do it. That would not surprise me. As a longtime Spurs fan, surprisingly, I'm okay with it.
Really?
I'm okay with that move because I think it's in the best interest of the Spurs that Popovich moves on. I think he's the greatest coach of all time.
Phil, but
okay. But as a debate for another time. But I think Popovich it's going to be a good move for the Spurs because they need a new voice. Yeah. And I think Becky Hammon's the perfect fit. She's proven herself, like, with a lot of the young guys.
Yeah.
They do have respect for her. I think Tim Duncan would be a great
assistant. I was going to say, you don't think they'll give it to Timmy?
Because if it's R.C. Buford and, you know, Peter Holt, that whole if it's their call, I think they're going with Tim Duncan. But if it's Popovich who gets to pass the mantle, pass the torch, he would give it to Becky Hammon.
You think so?
Yeah.
Because when he the past few games when he got ejected and when he missed a game, he gave it to Tim.
He got ejected. He gave it to Tim. And I think it was a game against Charlotte. Tim Duncan actually coached the game.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, if you look at the bubble, you know, Becky's been the one who's been up and, like, you know, talking and calling us, you know, calling out the plays and stuff for the players. So I think she's gained a lot of respect. I don't know. We don't know what's going on inside from what I've seen and just hearing the players talking about her and how they listen to her and watching her coach even in the summer league. She's gained a lot of respect of the players. Yeah. And I think, I think she'll be the best fit for the Spurs.
But so I want to jump back to that comment on the Nets, because this is the first I've heard of it. I don't know where I've been, maybe under a rock or something. But this is the first time I've heard of that kind of rumor.
Yeah.
I think it could go one, I mean, obviously it could go one of two ways, but I really, you know, maybe he would be really great in that situation, but I could see him getting very frustrated, because as much as I love Kyrie as a player, and as much as he denies it and denies and denies, but he's got to be bipolar, or he's got to have some sort of mental illness. I mean, he is, the guy is just so up and down. Like you watch games and he's just this encourager and everyone loves him. And there's other games where he is just a complete jerk. And I get everyone has good and bad days, but it just seems like even to the media, it's just a roller coaster with him. And I don't know. I mean, think about all the stars Pop has had. Like, you know, I mean, obviously he coached Team USA.
He's had control. Like he's been the guy.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Everyone just submitted to him where like, you know, you look at the Lakers, like Frank Vogel, like LeBron, if he wants to get back in the game, he's getting back in the game. Yeah. Like Frank Vogel, he's the coach. It's not like, you know, I hate when people say, oh, LeBron's the coach of that team. You know, he's not the coach, but he will override it sometimes. And what are you going to say? Like, are you going to tell, hey, LeBron, sit down right now? Like, no, if he was like a Greg Popovich, that might be a different story. So that's why I don't know. Maybe Greg Popovich will come in and he'll just say, look, I'm doing my thing. Or he'll be very frustrated. So I don't know how that'll swing.
Yeah, I don't know either. I don't know. Maybe he coaches the Nets for as long as he's coaching Team USA.
Yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's a few seasons. Maybe he gives himself a window, or maybe it's just for however long, you know, Kevin Durant's contract is. I think they're both 4-year deal. Mm-hmm. I think he's 4-year and Kyrie's maybe 3-year or something like that. So maybe he just coaches their contracts out and then they all part ways or something like that after 3 seasons or something. So I don't know. But going back to your point, the biggest surprises, San Antonio would be my, you know, 1B, but Phoenix 1A. Because I was like, why are they even here? Why do they get to come to the bubble?
You know?
But Phoenix, unbelievable performance. And then Monty Williams' post-game speech. I mean, we both coach. And that was just like, that's what you do it for. It's weird. Like, as a fan, you kind of watch these coaches and they... Mm-hmm. It's almost like they're, you know, in business and they're trying to, like, you know, they're doing it for their job to make money, mm-hmm. provide for their family or whatever. But it seemed like Monty Williams, like, in that moment was a high school coach or a youth basketball coach. And, like, that type of speech, you just almost wish, like, you could get to be in the locker room a lot more and see stuff like that. Like, that was really moving.
I kind of felt like... I'm not even a Phoenix fan. I kind of felt like when I was watching it, like, I'm a part of this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like it was just so relatable and so just, you could tell it was so heartfelt.
Yeah.
And he, like you said, it was just real. It was authentic. And, you know, I've always had great respect for Monty Williams. Obviously when his wife passed away, just how he handled that whole situation and how, he had so much respect from players in the NBA.
Yeah.
I mean, from every team he had been a part of, they were at that funeral. They were, you know, they showed him so much love. And I've never heard anyone say anything bad about Monty Williams. I mean, just so much respect around the league. And I've always had a lot of respect for him. But in that moment, that was just such a cool moment to see. Yeah. And again, I mean, he was a big part of that reason that Phoenix did so well.
Yeah.
But so for me, I would say I would have to agree with you. Phoenix would definitely be my number one. They played great basketball. And he did say it at the end, like, we earned the league's respect.
Yeah.
And I think they did I feel even as a fan, whenever the Lakers would go play Phoenix this year, it was just kind of like...
It was like a $10 ticket, you know, like, let's get the Phoenix. I even bought my parents for Christmas tickets to a Lakers-Phoenix game.
Yeah, the year before one of our buddies got married, or 2 years, Josue, and that's what I got him for... for his wedding anniversary, or for his wedding. That was their gift. I got him Phoenix Laker games because those were the only cheap ones, you know?
Yeah.
So it's for years, even the Lakers didn't have respect then either. But Phoenix hasn't had respect from the league for years. And even this past year, it was like, oh, Lakers are playing the Phoenix, you know, LeBron or AD, one of them's probably going to sit or something like that, you know? But in the bubble, I think next year, looking forward, they're going to continue to just gain momentum and actually be recognized as, man, this is a good squad, and we're actually going to have to take this game seriously. So, but I would also say, secondly, obviously it was super mainstream, but TJ Warren, I mean,
yeah,
that was crazy. And he had two or three good games up until they played the Lakers. Indiana played the Lakers, I think in the fifth game for the Lakers, maybe fourth game. And so he had already gained some respect, and people were like, oh, TJ Warren, you know, he's a bucket or whatever. And I was like, you know, everyone's got a couple good games or whatever. But when I watched the Lakers Pacers game, man, this dude was feeling it. And, I think near the end, the last two games, he wasn't as hot, but for four, five, six games, this dude was hot, man. And it was super, entertaining to watch, and just to see him kind of, you know, what did he get traded? He got traded for just cash considerations. Like, that was it. There was nothing, you know? And, you know, he obviously said something about that to Phoenix, but can you imagine if he was on Phoenix right now? I mean,
They'd
even be that much better. But to kind of, you know, show them, hey, this is what I got, and you got rid of me for nothing, and kind of prove himself, was extremely entertaining. And then it wasn't a surprise, but Dame.
Oh,
dude.
Yeah.
That was just, he was unbelievable. Just, I cannot put to words how great he was. And he had three games over 50.
Yeah.
Three games over 50.
He averaged 60 against, who was it, Dallas or some? I can't remember who.
He averaged 38 a game in the bubble. And it's not even like he had good percentages too, and he was dropping dimes. I think he averaged like 7 assists a game.
Yeah, he's getting his team involved.
Yeah. And everyone has just such high praise for him. I loved the game against the Clippers when they lost. I love the trash talk. I thought that was extremely entertaining, to see Pat Bev and then Paul George comment back on that video on Bleacher Report. And then him say, "You leaving team, y'all boys are chumps." Yep. Like, I was,
I sent Pat Bev home. I sent Paul George.
When he said that, yeah, I was like, I can't believe Pat Bev like commented back, like, "Bro, he got you. Like, you're done. Just be you." All you could have said was, "You right, you know, I'm coming for you this year." But then to try to like you got sent home. Dame already has two of the greatest playoff shots of all time.
Yeah.
Like that, those are both two top 10 playoff shots of all time.
And even like the game against Dallas where it hits the rim, bounces up out of frame, and then falls in. It was like, and one of the Portland announcers was like, anybody else, you would say that's a lucky shot. But because it was Dame, like that's the touch. You say, oh, it's a shooter's touch.
Logo Lillard, he was pulling up.
He's,
well, there was multiple. There was a few pictures that I saw when I was scrolling through Instagram. I think we were on Bleacher Report, maybe on ESPN or whatever. But there were a few times you saw, they showed a few images of Dame getting double teamed behind half court. Like they were two guys were picking him up behind before he even touched the logo. He was in the backcourt. And that was hilarious to see that. He is that much of a threat. The second he touches half court, the second he gets to that logo, he's a threat.
Yeah.
I mean, that's Steph Curry, you know, from 3 years ago. That's Steph Curry respect. To me, if he can have this much consistency coming up in the next year, I could see him being an MVP.
Mm-hmm.
I could see it.
Yeah.
Because he's the best finisher in the game right now. He's the best closer.
Closer.
I'm sorry, not finisher. Yeah. I meant closer. The best closer in the game right now is Dame. James Harden is the best scorer, and LeBron is the best passer, I think, overall. You know, Giannis is the best finisher at the rim. Gobert, Davis, Giannis, the best defenders. But the best closer is Dame.
Yeah.
No question.
What would you say Now switching topics here, still sticking with the bubble. Who would you say your most disappointing player was of the bubble?
I was really overall disappointed with the Lakers, honestly, as a Laker fan.
You got to pick one player.
I would say LeBron.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't impress at all. He didn't have one great LeBron James game. You know what I mean?
Do you think, though, like, after watching LeBron for all of these years, you know, he even said it again going into the bubble, you know, it's like, you know, whatever he calls it, zero dark 30 mode or whatever he calls it, something like that. Like, it's game time. It's playoff LeBron. Like, here we go. Like, I'm dialed in. I'm ready. I'm back. And, like, he always does that. And then he shows up. But do you think, when I was watching LeBron, it almost felt like you really felt him not be in the playoffs. It's been a year since he's been in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like that mentality or that, like, that attitude, like, he probably had the mentality, but, like, it wasn't full LeBron mode, because I think he's just, maybe that long layoff, like, it's been a year and a half.
Yeah,
a year. No, more than that. Like, it was a year and a half when they got eliminated, mm-hmm. but two years, like, yeah, since he's actually mm-hmm. been in the playoffs competing. So
yep,
you know, that might be part of it.
I think definitely he's got to hit the switch. I think he will, you know, because even as someone who's not a Laker fan, you could admit playoff LeBron, when it comes playoff time, like you yeah. said, he turns on that switch and he's ready to go. So I'm really hoping that mentality and that will to win changes. But there were a few games I was watching and it was just like the game against Indiana, the game against the Clippers, you know, he played terrible. I think he shot 28% or 25% from the field or something like that and just played really bad. AD played well a few games that they won. But there were just a couple games that I was just watching. Like, I felt like he had opportunities to take it to the rack and to take over the game. And he was just settling for jumpers. He was settling for you know, long-range three-pointers, which he can hit at times, you know.
Yeah.
But we don't need him to settle. We need him to get hot by that physicality, by being LeBron James. And so I can say, as a Laker fan, I was a little disappointed in his performance in the bubble, but I am holding out hope that he turns it on coming playoff time.
Yeah, I think he'll get that rhythm. He'll get it. I think once you know, they play Portland, they may drop a game, two games, you know, or may get to a game seven or something like that with Portland, like,
yeah,
I think LeBron will come out. For me, my most disappointing player, and I know this team, like, everybody had high hopes. I felt like they made the extension in the bubble for this team, and that was the Pelicans, and in particular Zion Williamson.
Yeah.
You know, he...
And Lonzo. I mean, you don't expect much from Lonzo.
Yeah, you don't expect much from Lonzo, but Lonzo was terrible in the bubble.
Horrible.
Yeah. So, but Zion... I you know, I watched his first game, obviously, as a Spurs fan. They were playing the Spurs, and oh my word, like, he was hitting crazy threes that game. Like, he hit like four threes that game.
Didn't they hold him to minute restrictions too that game?
Yeah, they had him on minute restrictions too in this first game. But when he was on the floor, he was unbelievable. And then even though they put on minute restrictions for this game, for the bubble too, but he just came in, he was heavier, he wasn't the Zion that we had seen before. And again, I don't know if it was a minute restriction. Maybe he just, you know, you can't blame a guy for having a bad attitude, but you could tell, like, at times you could just tell his attitude wasn't there. Like,
I think the worst thing was, is they said a Pelicans executive before the bubble even started. Pelicans executive. I saw the headline. Everyone better be ready for Zion. He's coming ready. So, like, I think they had built up this anticipation too. Like, we had already expect a lot from him. You know, he's a rookie, but, you know, he's a high caliber rookie,
yeah.
And we'd expect so much. So I think I agree with you. It was very underwhelming.
Yeah, he was just. It was like, he's okay. He's playing okay, but you know, he didn't play. And then, of course, like, he's in the running for Rookie of the Year? And it's like, come on, he barely even played.
Didn't he play like 16 games?
Yeah,
or
something like that. Like, come on now. Like, there's, I don't know. It wasn't.
He's not gonna win.
You know, the rookie class wasn't great this year.
Yeah,
but. But still, like, you can't put him in. You got to put someone else in there, yeah. You know, for the rookie consideration. And speaking of rookies, which rookie did you feel like really stood out in the bubble?
I think Ja.
Yeah.
Especially that last game against Portland.
In the play-in game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a couple nights ago. Man, I think he had 37 season high. He looked real good. Even this entire year. I mean, the guy's playing in Memphis. I mean, who's his second best player is Jonas Valanciunas. Like,
who's the big guy?
Jaren Jackson.
Jaren Jackson. Yeah.
Yeah. Jaren Jackson, you know, he's great too, but if we're being honest, they don't have much. Yeah. So even throughout that season, I don't think anyone expected them to be in consideration for the 8 seed. And I felt like the Pelicans had a lot more, you know, even without Zion, I felt like they had more. They should have done better. And, you know, I think Ja just had a really great performance in the bubble to close it out like that. He almost willed his team to a victory. And obviously, you know, usually it's Dame closing, we talked about, but
CJ,
that fourth quarter was just feeling it.
And then Melo.
Melo.
I forgot about, Melo was another, we'll talk about him.
Yeah. But just overall, I would say Ja just had a great year overall. And he's definitely the rookie of the year. If Zion wins, it'd be absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah. No. He should. I would go with, and he's a guy not a ton of people were talking about. He had his moments where people were talking about him, but I really liked Michael Porter Jr. I know it's technically his second, you know, he's been second, but he's a rookie because he didn't play last year with that injury. But man, the Nuggets, what a steal in the draft, actually, you know, taking a shot on getting him, because for those who don't know, like, Michael Porter Jr. could have been, you know, a top three pick in the NBA.
Well, he was projected coming into Missouri. I think he played in Missouri.
Yeah, Missouri.
He was projected to be the number one pick as he was coming in before the season started.
So, and, you know, had a back injury. So everybody passed on him, really. I think he was thinking 15th or 16th, something like that, by Denver a couple years ago. And now that he's healthy, now that he's playing, he's got 23 points a game and 8 rebounds. Like, and I got to, you know, get to watch him for a few games, you know, watched him one game against San Antonio. But I mean, he's a great ball handler, can shoot the bat, and he's just long. Like, yeah, I really like Michael Porter Jr. I thought Denver got a steal. I think Denver's really set up to push hard in the future.
Yeah.
Like Denver, they could make a run at a Western Conference Finals this year. It's possible.
I don't see it happening.
I don't see it happening this year.
They would have to beat the Clippers.
Yeah.
Because
they're the 3 seed.
Yeah, they're the 3 seed, and they're playing
Utah.
Yeah, they're playing Utah, which I think they'll beat Utah.
Yeah.
And then they're going to play the Clippers Clippers or the Mavs, which I like the Mavericks. They don't have what it takes this year either.
At the beginning of the season.
I just didn't expect them to get seeded with the Clippers. I think if they would have gotten seeded with the Nuggets, they would have had a better chance.
Yeah.
If the Mavs and the Nuggets got seeded, if the Nuggets would have gotten the 2 seed, I could have seen that happening. But, you know, I do like the Mavericks. I still think they're a year or two away. I do like them a lot. And I, you know, I would love them to upset the Clippers. I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, no.
But speaking of Michael Porter Jr., you know, I totally forgot about him. That's a great pick for a rookie there. But he was second team all bubble. He made the second team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that was, I totally forgot about that. That was obviously, you know, that was voted on by the media. But he did have a great performance there in the bubble.
What do you think about those? Like, you just mentioned the all team, you know, bubble all team. What do you think about even the idea of, you know, the bubble awards, like just giving out awards for those 8 games?
Yeah, I mean, it was only 8 games, so I think it was just good to just go first team and second team. You know, and obviously, you know, Dame got MVP or whatever. So I think doing those few things are cool. I think if it would have been longer, like they would have done this earlier and it was like 20 games or something like that, I think it would have, you know, made sense to give out more awards and kind of make it more of a little show or something like that, like they do with the NBA awards. But because it was only 8 games, it was almost like a little AAU tournament. So just doing those first team, second team, you know, MVP. I think that's the idea. I mean, that's kind of the idea of the AAU. They almost did it kind of like an AAU style anyways. They invited the players to come and watch, which I don't think a ton did, unless it was the really big games. It didn't really seem like it because they made mention of some that were there. But I do like those awards, seeing the first team and the second team. I think they should have given fans the vote for that.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're not going to give fans the vote for the first team and the second team, you know, for like overall for the season. Yeah. They're not going to give the fans that. But I do think it would have been cool to give the fans a little bit of a voice in this, maybe even give them 50% of the vote and then give, you know,
the writers
almost do the same thing with the All-Star game or something like that. Give that there. But you know, I think these picks weren't terrible. There's not one I say I hate or anything like that. So Caris LeVert from the Nets was on the second
team. The only one I hate is Kawhi, because he only played like half of the bubble games.
Yeah,
it's like true. I don't think he should have been. Should have been.
I feel like AD maybe could have been on there.
Yeah, Anthony,
but he did sit like three games too.
Kawhi barely played in the bubble. Like,
yeah,
you know, the Clippers did. Okay.
You are a Kawhi hater.
I'm really not a Kawhi hater. I don't even mind that he left. Like that was, you know, I felt like that was again why I mentioned Popovich is the best interest for the Spurs that he goes. Yeah. Like I feel like he played a huge factor in Kawhi leaving. Like,
yeah.
So I'm not too much of a Kawhi hater, but I don't think he should have been on. I don't think he should have been on the list.
I see that
like
point.
He didn't play that well. Like, I don't know if he. I would have put Carmelo on there or CJ McCollum.
Mm. Yeah, you could have done that.
But speaking of Carmelo, like Carmelo has been exciting to watch in the bubble.
Super happy for him.
And it's crazy. Like you're like, oh, yay, Carmelo, yay. But there's that kind of like when Carmelo's like, he said in his press conference after the game, he's like, I've been doing this. And you realize like, oh yeah, this is Carmelo Anthony.
It's almost like you're kind of treating Carmelo like a Make-A-Wish.
Like, yeah, you know, like come on, like it's Mellow.
He's Mellow. He's still a hooper. He's not Mellow 6 years ago. Like he's not going to give you 40 minutes a game and average 30. But we shouldn't be shocked that he's averaging 18.
Then he makes a 3-pointer
and making a 3-pointer at the end of the game to close it out. Like even with Kobe, he didn't lose his clutch factor. You know what I mean? Like he lost his step. He lost his quickness. He lost his vertical. But you don't lose that mentality. You know what I mean? So we shouldn't be shocked that he's hitting big shots in games.
Yeah.
So I did. But overall, the awards I liked. One thing that I really loved about the bubble tea, that I think is something that they should consider bringing in, is the play-in for the 8 seed. Yeah. I really like that concept. I think it would be good for the NBA, you know, to have that to where you are looking forward to that. I think it was if you were within four games, I think it was.
Yeah, within four games.
Within four games, you got to play. So I think that should be definitely something that Adam Silver should look to for the future of NBA basketball, is to look into that play in there.
I wish it was. I mean, I again, as a Spurs fan, I did feel like, oh, man, we kind of got robbed. Like, because we didn't really try at the end against Utah in the last game, but had San Antonio won, you'd have a three-way tie between Memphis, San Antonio, and Phoenix for that ninth seed. And, of course, you know, you got all the tiebreakers of, you know, whatever. But still, I think even if you have a situation where you have, like, tiebreakers, I think the tiebreaker should be that play-in. Like, it would be cool, too, to have, like, some of those teams who are, like, barely trying to get into that playoff, like, just that – you got a one and done, winner keeps moving on to play that, you know, whatever. But again, you know, test it out. I think it'd be good, you know.
It's just funny because the West was so tight for that 8 seed. And then the East was like, there was Washington. Washington was like, come on, Washington.
Washington was done like four games.
Yeah. Like nothing's going to happen there with Washington.
Yeah. I thought the play-in was really cool. And the game itself was such an intense game. That was really good. And like you talked about John Morant stepping up, and really putting the team on his back, coming down the stretch, and then CJ McCollum taking it over for Portland. But those are some of the cool moments of the bubble. What would you say, or who was your like most disrespected team? Or well, let's go with team. Which team would you feel like just didn't get a lot of love or respect?
I feel like all season, I don't know. I don't know why we've been so quiet about Miami. I love how they play. I love the grit. You know, obviously led by Jimmy Butler. He don't care. He does not want friends. Like
he's even said it. I'm not going to make friends in the bubble.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not trying to make friends. Like, and it's very evident. You know, this doesn't have to do with that, but just then when he dipped his shoulder on Chris Paul because he threw the ball at Duncan Robinson, like that was hilarious, you know. But I love Miami, and I think in the East in the next year or two they could be a real problem in the East.
Yeah.
And they would almost be like the Indiana with Paul George, Roy Hibbert, with those boys. Yeah, you don't want to play those dudes. Like Miami had a hard time with them. Miami beat them both years or 3 years or whatever. They beat them every time, but they had a problem with
problems.
Them.
Yeah.
And Lance Stevenson, those boys, I think they're going to be kind of like an Indiana where, you know, they may not be the top team. Milwaukee, you know, if they keep Giannis, may still be the top team in Boston and Philly, those top, but it's almost like, you know, you see Miami, you're playing them in the first round. You're like, oh, come on, man, we're going to get beat up in the first round. Like, you feel confident you can beat them maybe, but you are going to get beat up. Now, they got lucky playing Indiana. I personally think they'll beat Indiana. I do like Indiana. I like TJ Warren. I like Victor Oladipo, Sabonis. But I think Miami will win, and then they're going to play Milwaukee. And I think that's going to be hard for Milwaukee to play that Miami team. And it's going to wear them down. So, I don't know. This East is kind of unpredictable too. I mean, I guess that's why it's NBA basketball. It's just all of it's really unpredictable.
Speaking of that grit and tough team, the team I feel like doesn't get a lot of love and respect is Toronto.
Yeah.
And I picked them to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. I would not be surprised if they made it back to the finals again.
The only reason I don't see that is because Kawhi guarded Giannis after game two or after game one, I think. And he did a great job guarding Giannis.
Game two.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to guard him. Serge Ibaka maybe. They're going to go big on him. So we'll see what happens with that. That'll be interesting. But I wouldn't be surprised with you either.
Yeah, Toronto's a really good team. Kyle Lowry's defense is really good.
Yeah.
You know, on the perimeter, he's a smart player. You know, you've got, you know, Siakam, who, you know, again, he's stepping it up. He's continuing to step up his game. I think his points per game went up maybe like 7 or 8, something like that this year. So he's been great. But Toronto, I feel like Toronto's been disrespected. What about player? Which player do you feel like?
Which player was disrespected?
Yeah, like I don't they know just if didn't it was... get enough attention, or people were just kind of like,
I think if it. Mainly because I think he was mostly disrespected at the beginning of the season and kind of even all through the year. And he's gotten a little bit of recognition, but I don't think as much as he deserves is Chris Paul with OKC. What he's done with that group, they had a 0.2% chance of making it to the playoffs. They were given, ESPN gave
before
them
the season?
At the beginning, before the season started, ESPN gave them a 0.2% chance of making the playoffs.
Yeah, because I remember even when they got the trade, he went to OKC. They were like, okay, he's going to leave and go to Miami.
He's not playing.
Or something like
that.
Yeah,
they
like,
said, they straight up said, well, there were many reports that said, we will never see Chris Paul in an Oklahoma City uniform.
Yeah.
Like, and to see what he did with that squad, you have to be honest, that is not a great basketball squad.
No.
Danilo Gallinari has always been a good player, but never a great player. Steven Adams, I love Steven Adams, but he's not like in this era of basketball, he doesn't fit, you know, he's not going to take you to the 3-point line. He's just going to be hard nosed, set some hard screens. And Shea is a great player, but he's young and he took that squad and Chris Paul with Chris Paul's leadership. And he did something with them where oh my goodness. And not just because I think the Lakers can beat them easier than Houston. I think they'll be easier for the Lakers. But just because I want Chris Paul to shove it in Daryl Morey's face, I want them to beat the Rockets. And it looks like they might have a good shot because Westbrook's going to be out 2 or 3 games.
Yeah.
So I want that. I want him to just shove it in their face and be like,
that'll be pretty crazy too. I mean, that's the series you wish it was actually in their hometowns, to see, you know, the intensity in those games. But still, that would be a cool one for Chris Paul, like you said, to shove it in Daryl Morey's face and even James Harden. Because remember, when the Rockets got eliminated last year, they were talking about, I can't remember what the reporter kept saying, but he, you know, James Harden alluded to, he goes, no, that's not the problem. I know what the problem is. Why we keep losing. I know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And I forgot about that. And he was, you know, alluding to Chris Paul is the problem, why we're not winning. And so they, we need to get rid of, you know, and they got rid of him like a month later.
Yeah.
So it might be, you know, this game where Chris Paul comes back and play. And if you've ever seen Chris Paul play angry, like he's a bulldog.
Yeah.
He is a bulldog of a player. So yeah, Chris Paul. But on the flip side, you mentioned Chris Paul. I go over to Houston and I would say James Harden. James Harden. But everyone's talking about it's Giannis, it's LeBron, it's, you know, craving Chris Paul, you know, should be the MVP, or Luka Doncic should be MVP or whatever. But this dude is unbelievable.
Because he chokes in the playoffs, T.
Yeah, but I mean, what does that have to do with, you know, the MVP? Like,
he's... Oh, so you're saying you think he should have got an MVP
I think he should at least be like, it should be, oh, is it Giannis, LeBron, or Harden? Which one? Because these three are the...
He is the top three. He was the top three. He was the third.
Was he the third?
But he's not really in the discussion.
But they don't talk about him. Yeah,
they're pretty much
like
talking LeBron and Giannis.
So,
which I mean, he's...
I think Harden was
the third year in a row. He's led the league in points. He's been the scoring champion.
Yeah, I think
third
year in a row. He's,
and he averaged 37 this year.
37 a game. And they talk about him like he's the third. Like they threw him in there almost felt not the same level of Zion. Throw Zion and then we need another player, but. Okay, it's either LeBron or Giannis, and then James Harden. He guess he's the next best player on the list, but I feel like he's just not getting the respect he deserves. So I don't know. That's my pick for most disrespected.
Okay.
Disrespected player.
Well, as we're closing out Bubble Talk.
The Bubble Talk. That should be the name of our other podcast.
That's right, the Bubble Talk. Let's talk about NBA. Let's talk about the playoffs. Moving into the playoffs here.
Yeah.
Are you still sticking with your same picks? Now looking at, you can actually see clearly the road for each team, mm-hmm. as we see, because everything else was prediction. Well, if they play here and they play here, I think now, obviously, the Lakers are playing Portland, but I think it worked out for them not having Denver or the Clippers on their side of the Western Conference. I think that was a huge win, mainly just having the Clippers on the opposite side. I think it'll be good for the NBA to see the Clippers and the Lakers in the conference finals. So I think, not saying that the refs cheat, but I think the league will do their best to make that happen. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to like outwardly cheat.
Yeah, but they'll make a call here or there, or
that'll benefit them. Know. So I'm still going on the West. I'm still going the Lakers, even though I'm very, very nervous.
So you got Lakers-Clippers in the Western Conference Finals.
I do. I have Lakers-Clippers. And then as I'm looking to the East, I believe, if I can remember correctly, I believe I picked Milwaukee and Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'm going to switch that up, and I think I'm going to go Milwaukee-Toronto. I think I'm going to go Milwaukee.
You're siding with me now.
I am, but I'm still going Milwaukee to the finals. Did you have Milwaukee in the finals?
I did. I did Milwaukee in the finals.
I am siding with you, and mainly because Jason Tatum's inconsistency, I would say, because he has had a few games of just brilliance. And then I think the first game of the bubble, did they play Milwaukee? I think they played Milwaukee. Did they play Toronto?
One of those games.
Whatever game. The first game that they played in the bubble.
It was Milwaukee, but
I think he had seven points.
Yeah.
I think it was their first game. He was just awful. And I get everyone has a bad game, but
yeah, it was their first game.
I think they've just been so inconsistent. Brad Stevens did just get the extension, which I'm happy for him. That has nothing to do with the bubble or playoffs, but I just want to give him a shout out because I really like Brad Stevens. But I think it'll be Milwaukee, Toronto, and then the finals. I have to go with the Lakers. I'm really, really nervous about that pick. I think the Clippers are just going to be really difficult for us this year. But I'm going to go Lakers, Milwaukee, and I'm going to Lakers win it all because I have to.
Of course.
Are you sticking with your same picks?
Yeah, absolutely. Wholeheartedly is sticking with my picks. I'm still picking everyone. You know, says Portland is going to, you know, could upset the Lakers. It's possible, but I'm still picking the Lakers in that matchup. I'm not going to go against LeBron. You know,
are you still going Houston over the Lakers?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going Lakers over Portland. I said Dallas is a sleeper pick. If they could avoid the Clippers, they didn't. So The Clippers are going to beat the Clippers are going to beat Dallas. I'm taking Denver. I think Denver will beat Utah in five games. Utah's not going to give Denver a ton of problems.
Are you going to go for every?
Yeah, I'm gonna go over each. I'm gonna go over each of them. Just breaking them down for you. But sticking with my picks. Okay, you're getting frustrated with me.
Well, I'm frustrated because I want to argue with you.
Okay, in the East, yeah, Toronto, Milwaukee. That's my pick for the Eastern Conference Finals.
And then you're going Milwaukee,
and I'm going with Milwaukee still to win that matchup. I think I'm gonna go seven, and we'll go Milwaukee. And then in the West, Houston Clippers. I'm picking Houston over LA. I again,
you're picking Houston over the Clippers or over the Lakers?
Over the Lakers, sorry. Houston over the Lakers.
I don't get that. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Okay,
to me.
So you brought up Oklahoma City, and now that Westbrook's out, they will give the Rockets problems. I'm still gonna roll with Houston, but OKC can give them problems. But with Westbrook, with Houston, the way they play, the way they can shoot the basketball, the Lakers, like I said before, don't have that perimeter defense. They're going to have a shootout with the Rockets.
No, they'll give the ball to Anthony Davis and see if PJ Tucker can stop him at 6'5".
Yeah, but you can try to play. You can try to play that way. But
what I've said, that's how the Lakers won 52 games this year. They never won a shoot. I mean, rarely did they win a shootout. Their 3-point percentages and 3-point attempts and everything is near the lowest of the NBA. But how they won is, especially with the Rockets, when they had Clint Capella, every game PJ Tucker would pick up LeBron. Well, now PJ Tucker is your center, so he now is going to have to guard Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, or Anthony Davis, and who is going to guard LeBron? And I get. They have great perimeter players. They do, but no matter who James Harden plays against, he scores. He averages 37. He's scoring around 40 points a game. No matter who they play against, Russell Westbrook scoring 25 points a game. That happens no matter who they play against. That's what they
right,
average.
But the way they play that run and gun, shoot the 3-pointer. If it's not there, you go in and take the layup.
The Lakers are going to slow the game down.
There's not been a team in the playoffs. And you look at Houston, the way they've played over the last few years. There's not been a team that's really slowed them down like that. The only team I could think of maybe was San Antonio a couple of years ago. But they didn't slow them down a ton. I think they just really focused on keeping James Harden off the free throw line. And then he had a game where he just shot terribly. But you look at Houston's track record the last few years. Who's the style of play? Who's beaten them every year the last three years? Which team has beaten them?
Well, we haven't had a team like the Lakers in the playoffs. I mean, we haven't. They're a unique team where your two best players are forwards. We haven't had this. I mean, what team in the past 6 years has had a team where you have two of the top five forwards in the you have two of the top players in the NBA on your team, and both of them are forwards? I mean, you haven't, the Lakers, there's been no team like this. So to have LeBron and Anthony Davis on the court at the same time, I just don't see a way that Houston stops them. I just don't. And I know obviously you see differently.
Yeah, we've had this argument. It'll be an interesting matchup. I just like, To answer my question, the Warriors have been the team that's knocked them out. And they can shoot with Houston.
I understand that, but we haven't seen a team like the Lakers yet.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup, but hopefully you can see how I would see that.
I see it. It just doesn't make any sense.
How does it not make sense?
Because the PJ Tucker is your center. The Lakers are the number one scoring team in the key. Number one.
Yeah, but Houston goes up against teams with bigs all the time.
The Lakers. No team in the NBA is as big as the Lakers, and as big as the Lakers as far as your top tier players. You know what I mean? Like, there are teams that are as big as the Lakers, but not like Dallas is as big as the Lakers. But to have your two best players as forwards at 6'8 and 6'11, and Anthony Davis can play with his back to the basket. And loves to play with his back to the basket, and so does LeBron. I just don't see it. I don't see Houston come close.
We'll see.
But do you have the Clippers or Houston?
Clippers.
So you have be Clippers Milwaukee. And then who do you have winning?
Clippers. I got the Clippers winning. Yeah. Okay. The Clippers will win it all.
Well,
I'm excited for this playoffs.
All arguments aside, we're both excited.
Yeah.
About playoffs.
This is going to be fun.
It's going to be really entertaining. This is going to be fun. And looking forward to discussing it more here on the podcast.
As the playoffs move along. Well, speaking of playoffs, like we talk about different teams losing different players, you know, obviously you talked about Houston losing Westbrook for a few games and Philly losing Ben Simmons and, you know, due to injury, and which kind of leads us into our next topic. You know, some of the worst injuries we've seen. I hated this topic.
Can I tell you why?
Yeah, go
because
ahead.
As we were doing research and a lot of these were coming to our minds, some of them we looked up. But every single one of these are so big that they all have videos with them. And some of the videos just make you cringe.
Yeah.
I mean, it almost makes you shake. You know what I mean? So let's spit out every other one. We'll just go every other. We'll bring it up here. And we'll make mention of a few of these here. Why don't you go first, T?
Well, you go back to, it was a couple nights ago. You got UFC 250 something or something like that. You had Cormier versus Miocic, and I can't remember which round it was, but Miocic pokes Cormier in the eye, and you get to see that picture where his finger goes deep in his eye. Yeah. And like in the post game, like even in the fight and in the post fight interview, like his eye is just so mangled and like looking all over the place. And so like, so that was just nasty, which made me think, like, we were discussing this, like, oh man, you know, we definitely gotta do an episode where we're talking about some of these sports injuries, because this is really bad. So for me, you know, one of the first ones that came to mind was back in 2014, the Team USA in the they were in, like, what do you call them? the FIBA games.
Was a practice game though, right?
You know, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was a practice game.
Yeah.
They were gearing
just white versus blue.
Yeah, yeah.
White versus blue.
Yeah, blue. Yeah. And Paul George was in transition, I believe, or fast break, and goes up for a dunk, and his leg hits the little stanchion on the back, and his leg just shatters. It just buckles and shatters, and he just falls on that injury right there. Again, if you haven't seen it, all of these injuries we're gonna reference the videos. Go on YouTube if you got a strong stomach.
If you don't, do not watch any of these. Not one of these is worth watching if you like cannot handle this.
Yeah, if you do not like broken bones or things coming out of socket or blood at all, like
such a gruesome conversation.
But the Paul George injury, if you've seen it before, you can go back. He's just watching his leg just shatter and buckle right on the backboard. A simple basketball play. Like no contact with any other player, and then his leg just comes down on the basket, and then just he's done out for the season.
Well, there we go, another basketball one, Gordon Hayward, the Celtics.
Oh,
that was opening night,
opening game,
first game
against the Cavaliers,
playing in Boston against the Cavs. Went up, I believe, from a Kyrie lob.
Yeah.
I think Kyrie threw up a lob
over Kevin Love,
and his ankle just bloop. But that, I mean, he also. He fractured his tibia too. So he fractured his tibia and he dislocated his ankle. And to see, I mean, you can still picture it.
His whole foot turned around, like
facing the opposite,
direction. It was so, and you don't, it was one of those, like there's some of them on this list. Like obviously they were all, you know, on TV, you saw it.
Yeah.
But this one, it cut to the instant replay as if it was like a normal injury. Like sometimes you see, like, you know, a player rolls their ankle, hit their arm, and you're like, and oh, there you can see it. Like, oh, his ankle rolls. Yeah. Like, ouch. But this one, you see his whole foot just turn around, and everyone goes, oh, and the announcers are just like, oh no, yeah, we got to, we can't. It's just like, oh my. That was, the Gordon Hayward.
I felt so bad. You know, he signed that big contract, and then that first game, like, oh.
He's done.
So terrible.
Yeah, this next one, this one's an old school one. I remember I'd never watched it live. I wasn't a big hockey. I don't even know if I was alive yet.
I don't think you were because this was in the 80s.
Yeah, so I wasn't even alive yet. But I remember watching this back on, like, you know, those ESPN's top 10s or sports, whatever.
Yeah.
Like their when they used to have those like hour long episodes or whatever, like best of whatever. And this was Clint Malarchuk, the goalie, and he, you know, defending the net. And then I can't remember who the player was, but their skate went up, and the blade from the skate
cut right under his helmet,
right under his face, right under the goalie's face mask, and cut his jugular to where just blood was just pouring out of his neck.
And pouring is an understatement. I mean, it was flowing.
Yeah, like, it was just flowing out of his neck all over the. And he's, you know, he's grabbing his neck.
You can watch this one on YouTube too.
Yeah, grabbing his neck, holding on to his jugular vein, just to try to pinch it off. In come the medical crew. They're skating onto the ice, and they're literally holding on to his jugular vein. Like, they were saying, like, you know, if they had to let go for a couple, like, he would have died, like, right there on the ice. And it was because of that. Now all of the goalies have neck guards on their face masks because of their that incident, because they were just the regular circular masks, kind of like how catcher's masks are in baseball, but now they've got, you know, the big long neck guard. But that
all these you can watch on YouTube, and it's so, even just thinking about it kind of makes me like shake a little bit. This one at the time was everywhere. Was the worst. Oh, at the time was the worst. Oh, because I was watching. I think
it still might be the worst.
Kevin Ware Jr., Louisville, fractured tibia, where you saw
his
leg just come out of his skin.
No.
And you saw it. Well, no. I think what they said was he had a small hairline fracture before the game, and it was giving him a little problem. It was hurting him a little bit. But he decided to play on it anyways. And he went up to block a shot, I believe.
Yep.
Went up to block a shot and fell right down on it. And you see his leg just pierce right through his skin. Yeah,
the bone come right out of his skin.
Oh,
man. And you watch, like, this was the NCAA tournament game.
I think it happened right in front of the bench.
Yeah, right in front of Duke's bench. This was Duke Louisville. And right in front of their bench. And you just, I can't remember which player it was, just passed out. As soon as he saw, he just collapses on the bench when he sees it. So this is, you know, again, like you said, Kevin Ware, his leg just shatters and the bone pops through his leg, and you could see it on national television.
And this is kind of mean, but the worst thing about that injury was getting a picture sent to you by, like,
all your friends,
one of your buddies, send you a picture of the leg. Like, you're like, I saw it once. I don't need to keep looking at it.
I don't want to see it again. That was, the Duke players passed out. And it was just, I think it was Jim Nance was on the call, and he was just like, we're not even going to show this again. We can't show you this. We can't even show you the replay of it. The producers are telling us we can't show you. Like, that's how bad of an injury that was. To me, I think that was probably the worst injury that I've seen.
Visually. Because this next one,
the other one,
the most scary. Probably.
Yeah, the other one, Ryan Shazier, the linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And so he, you know, gets the spinal contusion, and he just, you know, right there on a, you know, regular tackle, just
stiff,
just gets hit, goes down, and just locks up. And you're like, he's done. He's paralyzed. Like,
we thought he was.
Yeah. He's done. And to watch, probably the coolest thing is to watch his recovery too.
And the NFL draft.
Yeah. Like, to watch him come back, like, to learn to walk again. And, you know, he wants to play football again. You know, I don't know. I don't want to doubt the guy, because you didn't think he could walk again.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's out walking again. And, you know, you could just tell, like, even just getting all of his motor skills back, learning to, you know, talk and stuff like, you know, with, you know, and everything like that. So, but that was a scary injury, Ryan Shazier's injury.
I think about Sean Livingston. Everyone thought that was career ending. Like,
it was at the time. Yeah. Like,
because now, like, you look at, you know, people who tear their Achilles and stuff like that, you know, with the way modern medicine is now and technology and things, it seems like players recover better from something like that. But even at that time, early 2000s, when that happened to Sean Livingston, there wasn't really a lot of people recovering from serious injuries like that. Tore his ACL, his PCL, and sprained his MCL. I mean, just really, really serious, and thought it was career ending. And then to see his resurgence as well with the Warriors, coming back off the bench and just giving great production for, I think he was a part of all three of their championships.
Mm-hmm.
Just really, really fun to watch him. But that was a real serious injury as well.
Yeah, that one you Oh, yeah, that one you cringe. He was with the Clippers.
Yep.
Yeah, he was with the Clippers for that one. That was, because he was supposed to be the next big, you know, up and coming point guard in the NBA. Like, he was, you know, it would be like if Ja Morant just shattered his knee.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was a bad one. Speaking of shattering bones, this next one, this was Jamira Anderson Silva. So we're going to UFC. His
leg turns into a U.
Yeah, going to UFC here. Anderson Silva breaks his leg in half against Chris Weidman. And so this one.
That
this
picture was, went everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I think this was their second matchup. So, and this one you feel bad, really bad for Anderson Silva, because Chris Weidman, Anderson Silva, they fought the first time. And Anderson Silva's like taunting Chris Weidman in the fight. Like, he's like, you know, basically, you can't touch me. You know, he kept dodging all of his attacks, all of his punches. And then he's like, Anderson Silva lets his guard down, puts both of his arms down. He's just moving his head back and forth. Like, you can't hit me. And Chris Weidman just drops him and he's done, knocks out Anderson Silva. And so Anderson Silva's like, okay, we got to do the rematch. Let's go. Like, I can beat you. I was just messing around, you know? And then he goes, Anderson Silva, if you watch him, you know him, like, he's a great leg striker. Like, that's his game, is his kicks. So he comes with a kick again, and Chris Weidman blocks it with his knee, and Anderson Silva's leg, like you said, turns into a U, just snaps. You can just see his whole leg just bend backwards into the shape of a U, and he's just done. That was just such a gruesome. Because, I'm like grabbing onto my leg right now as I'm talking about it.
Well, because when you see him kick it, he kicks it, and then when he pulls off, you know, like when you see something or you watch in slow mo and it'll bend around something, and then it'll like fall off and it'll go back to normal. His leg didn't go back to normal. It stayed in a U. Yeah. Like, and that picture went everywhere too, you know. But yeah, that was a super gruesome moment as well. So, man, these are terrible to relive these.
Yeah.
Super cringy.
Sorry, yeah. But.
Alex Smith for the Redskins, broken tibia. Oh. He had 21 months of rehab without touching a football field or anything like that. 17 surgeries.
That's insane.
After it happened, I think it was the day after his first surgery, he said he felt lucky to be alive. And the doctor said there was a thought that he might not have made it because the bone had broken skin. And they believed at that point that there was good cause for infection in his leg, and that was going to make the problem even that much worse. So luckily he's healed now and he's, I guess, back to full strength. He's allowed to continue. I think he still wants to play again. But that many surgeries, that many months off, almost 2 years, especially where medicine is now, like 2 years, 15 years ago, that would have been a lot different. But 2 years where medicine is now, having that many surgeries, that's a long time.
Yeah.
So props to him, but that was a gruesome injury as well.
That's a big mental hurdle too.
Oh yeah.
To get over.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. After being out for 2 years to jump back into playing football of all sports.
Yeah. Couple more here.
Yeah. Travis Pastrana.
This wasn't one particular.
It wasn't one injury. This was several. In his career,
we could have done so many action sports, though.
Yeah,
like we just chose one. Think about all the broken bones in skateboarding and in motocross and all of that.
Yeah, that's where we're breaking up. Like even Travis Pastrana, like he's the the one we thought of the most. He was over 60 broken bones. Multiple torn muscles, dislocated his spine, over 250 concussions.
250 concussions. I was like, man, he got some serious problems. He is 40 years old. He's in the rest home.
25 concussions. But Travis Pastrana, like that guy's.
And I'm sure there's many other injuries that were not mentioned that he was like, I just broke a finger. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Travis Pastrana, Evander Holyfield,
the ear,
his poor ear, man. That was just kind of a funny one. We wanted to add there, funny injury there, but was definitely disgusting.
And that was who is Tyson's fighting? Roy Jones, I think he's fighting. Tyson's coming up, but he got insurance on his ear, something like
that's
that.
Funny.
Like, That was funny. A good one.
All right, here's the last one, too. You bring this one up. This is not one I don't think, and maybe a few people have seen.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it until we were, you know, digging deep, doing a little bit of research on this one.
This one might be one of the worst.
This one's Akil Mitchell. I think I'm saying his name correct. Akil Mitchell. And he was playing in the Australian basketball or
stint,
something like that.
He had a stint with the Nets in the G League, it said. I wasn't even familiar with him. I don't think he played. I think he played on their G League affiliate team. But yeah, he was playing in New Zealand.
New Zealand. Yeah, yeah. So he's playing in New Zealand. And he went up. He went up for a rebound.
Yeah,
went up for a rebound. And it seemed like he got, you know, poke in the eye, right? We started with a poke in the eye with Daniel Cormier. Seemed like a poke in the eye. And he goes down, he's holding his face, and then he turns his head, and the camera catches it, and his eye is out of socket. Like, you literally see his eye.
The
eye is on the side of his face.
This one, like, you can watch.
This one you can
watch. It just happened in like 2017, so yeah, I'm surprised it didn't become that, like...
It's one of the, like, it's literally like probably in 10 seconds.
Well, because like, it was less because we were over here watching it and we were just like, and it happened. We see it and like, what happened? And then all of a sudden you just see
his like eyes. His eyes over there and you're like, oh.
That's just one of those you can only watch once.
Shut the camera down, shut the laptop down.
Slam the laptop.
Burn it up. that one's a crazy one. So yeah.
Ton of really gruesome injuries, T. And... this was kind of a depressing way to end this episode.
but I, you know, it was an interesting topic. This one was brought up by one of our fans, actually. You know, gave us this topic to talk about. So as we continue to go on the show, give us more feedback, some topics you want us to talk about and discuss, and we'd love to continue to hear from you as we grow the show and talk about some things you guys want to talk about and hear us discuss. Hopefully they're not as gruesome, but this was a good and a bad one to relive.
Yeah. So but. if you have any topics or anything, email us at waterbreakpod@gmail.com. And we would love to connect with you and hopefully get maybe one of your ideas and topics on the show. All right. We'll catch you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Water Break. New episodes are released every Monday. So don't forget to hit that subscribe button to be notified when a new episode is available.
As you continue to listen to the podcast, we would love to hear from you. If you'd like to give feedback on the show or you have a topic you'd like us to discuss, send an email to waterbreakpod@gmail.com. Once again, that's waterbreakpod@gmail.com.
We'll see you on the next episode of Water Break. Stay hydrated.